Myers out of the stretch, the pitch, and a swing and a miss. He struck him out. Would you like fries with that?
The sound of summer.
I mean, if he laid on first base, he wouldn't have touched more of it.
The voice of the Milwaukee Brewers.
And why is this taking so long? We had a courier pigeon that brought the news back to us tonight.
It's Lane Grindle on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Ryan brings it again with a fantastic open, Molly, this time for Grindle. Lane, we are excited to be talking with you this baseball season. And look, the Brewers are delivering right out of the gate. And I want to talk about them, but I want to ask you this question. I've been trying to push my co-host here, Molly Brown, to watch the show Brockmire. And I'm just taking a guess that you've seen the TV show Brockmire. Can you try to sell her on watching Brockmire, which is about a disgraced broadcaster who apparently hates Joe Buck, and it's hilarious.
So I know Brockmire, and I've watched one episode. I'm sad.
Oh no!
I need to change it. There's no reason why I haven't watched it. Honestly, I started to watch it this off season with my wife, and she was kind of like not into it. And so I was like, okay, find something different. But I need to watch all of it. I remember when it first came out, you know, there were so many people that were like, man, they've got to get Uke on there as like a cameo at some point, because it felt like such a natural fit. And Joe Buck made a cameo. I think he's in the first or second episode.
Oh, he's got a whole story arc. You'll appreciate it. He's got a whole story arc in it.
Lane, I'm just glad to hear.
I need to convince myself, but I need to watch it.
Lane, I'm just glad to hear that you have a voice. How many innings straight did you call the other day for the Brewers doubleheader?
So the doubleheader, I did all 18 innings by myself, and then did all nine Sunday by myself, and then last night in Fenway, I did all nine by myself. And it honestly, it probably sounds worse than it is. I mean, let's just break it down for a second. It is Major League Baseball. And for me, I grew up a Royals fan, so it was me doing, you know, 27 innings by myself at Kauffman Stadium, a place I went to a million games as a kid growing up, and then getting to do nine solo at Fenway. If you told 10-year-old Lane he was going to get to do that, he's like, sign me up. Yeah. And so you have to keep it in that perspective. It was actually kind of a fun challenge, to be honest with you. And a million broadcasters have done nine by themselves throughout the minor leagues and everywhere else. So a little different to do that in the big leagues like I did it, but it was fun. And it was just, I was glad to be able to help out any little way I could, just like Josh was glad to be able to pinch hit over on the TV side, because you know, we miss Lev. Lev's, you know, our guy. He's our great friend, and he was not feeling well. And it was a rough go for him for, you know, almost 72 hours. But I think we're going to have Lev back tonight, and we're going to be back to full strength. So that's the good news.
Any tricks you have to do? I remember when I was in broadcast school, they tell you all the stuff about, you know, different things to drink or to avoid. I was curious. I mean, obviously, I know it's broadcasting, it's a dream job, but, you know, there is something to, especially with the cold weather and the travel, to try to keep everything in place. Are there any tricks of the trade that you have going on there?
The biggest thing for me is that I drink a ton of water usually during games, because I get innings where I have breaks that if I need to use the restroom, I can.
Yeah.
And so the water is crucial for me to keep my voice kind of where I want it to be. And I really just dialed way back on the water, even though I knew I had 18 innings to call on Saturday. So that was like to balance that, to be able to. I really didn't drink water until about the second half of the second game on Saturday, which is not normally how I would do that. But the situation at Kauffman, the bathroom's a decent ways away from your broadcast position. So you can't go during in between inning breaks or anything like that. So a little better here at Fenway. It's right behind us. So last night I just kind of did it more in a normal way. But yeah, it worked out. I mean, it's just, you just convince yourself that this is no big deal, and it's no big deal.
Lane, right before we jumped on, you were saying that it was snowing in Boston. Which makes me feel a little bit better about the weather that we're having here in Wisconsin, as I'm like complaining about it being, I don't know, 40 degrees here. But how are you getting through with the cold weather games?
Well, I get through fine because the booth's pretty comfortable here at Fenway. It's actually a really good broadcast booth, and I'm a stickler about, we got to put the windows up. Maurer would leave them down if I let him, but I like won't negotiate. I'm like, nope, we're gonna put the windows up. I really I need to be able to feel like I'm a part of the game. And I feel like that window between me and the field is just, it's a mental thing for me, but it's a block and I can't get past it. So I want the window up. I want to feel like I'm out and I'm part of things. But yeah, there were snowflakes this morning when I was walking around Boston down on Newbury Street. And I was like, I kind of had to convince myself that that's what I was actually seeing in April, but that's what it was. And it's going to be cold. I've seen some reports that say tonight the wind chill could be down even in the teens for this one. A lot of teams on the East Coast moved their games to this afternoon. I know they did that in Cleveland for the Guardians and Royals game, but we're going to play it tonight and we'll make do, man. It's this is what you get. There's always interesting weather over a course of 162 games.
Do you got to get Boston accent?
I don't. I wish I was good at like impersonation. I'm so boring in this way. I would like, here's what would happen. I would try to do a good Boston accent, and then I would end up doing like, I would sound Italian or something completely not Boston. Like, I get everything, all my wires crossed. I will tell you, when I was a kid, I was just saying earlier that I grew up a Royals fan, and so I would go to Kansas City games a couple times a year. And I remember as a senior in high school sitting at a Royals game down the first baseline, and they were playing the Red Sox. Pedro Martinez was on the mound. Nomar was their shortstop at the time. And I'm sitting next to a guy and his son from Boston. And I just had not, I was a farm kid from Iowa that didn't travel much. So, like, I hadn't really experienced the Boston accent. I didn't even have cable. Like, we got DirecTV when I was like a freshman in high school. And I finally was like, this is what ESPN is. So I just hadn't been exposed to like a Boston accent before. And this guy next to me is like, yeah, we came in from Boston because he's like, you know, it costs so much to park. Like, we can come to Kansas City and watch the Royals and Red Sox play here. It's cheaper than going to a game in Boston, you know? And he's like, you know, no, Ma, he's got too much torque on his swing. And I was just like, what is going on? And I was like, this is like a different language for me. And I was fascinated by it. It was really cool. So I love coming here. This ballpark is special. These fans, they get after it. I mean, they are so passionate. This is one of my favorite trips every single year when we come to Boston.
Len Grindle joins us on the Yuengling Guest Hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America and now officially in Wisconsin. We got to talk about Wilson Contreras and his feud with the Brewers, which goes back to his Cubs days. And look, I grew up and I'm still a Cubs fan. I'm not a Brewers hater because I was a Brewers fan and a Cubs fan. Then the Brewers switched to the National League. And look, when the Brewers beat the Cubs, I was rooting for them to go to the World Series. Unfortunately, the Dodgers had other plans. But so Contreras is a guy that, at least for a while when he's on your team, you'd be like, I like this guy in Wilson. Obviously, we all like William Contreras. But when he's not on your team, he's something else. I'll put it like that. But what are your thoughts? You've obviously seen him play a lot.
Well, I think for part of the thing with him is this is kind of what fuels him. I mean, I think he likes to play with that chip, right? And so I think he's sometimes searching for it. Like, I didn't think the pitch last night was even that far in.
No.
I think you could really debate whether it actually hit him or not. I mean, that's how close it was. If it did, it was a graze. So I think he was just waiting to, like, you know, have this situation where he felt slighted and he could try to light a fire in his own clubhouse, because they're off to a 2-7 start at the time, now 2-8. I will say he tends to play better when he's like this. I mean, he had a very good game at the plate last night, but I thought Yelly summed it up pretty well, that we've seen this skit for 10 years. And some of the hit by pitches are legitimate, right? Like, there's a few that they get him under the ribs and you get it and you understand. But there's also, of those 24, a pretty good number of them where the elbow's going out and the pitch is, there's a couple where the pitch is a borderline strike and he's sticking his elbow out and getting hit by it. So I think everything is kind of situational and pitch by pitch, and you have to look at it that way. But I think some of it is just, this is what makes him tick and this is how he plays. William even said it last night in the clubhouse. He said, I tried to calm it down, but this is how he is.
Yeah.
Like, this is how he plays, essentially. And so I think you know that. It's become pretty consistent when the Brewers play any team that he's on. Something happens. There's a little bit of drama. And tonight I don't envy the umpires, because I don't think anybody's going to try to do anything tonight, because everybody understands that the antennas are up, right? And nobody wants to lose a pitcher for a suspension or anything like that this early in the season. Nobody wants that. But you pitch him inside because that's the scouting report. And if something gets away from you a little bit, then the umpires are going to have a lot of responsibility on their hands tonight. So I don't envy them at all.
Speaking of umpires, we heard your incredible call from last week on C.B. Buckner's horrible call. What was going through your mind during that moment? I mean, long moment, I should say.
I think you hear all of it in that. It was just literally like me having no filter and just my thoughts being just puked out as I was watching it. I couldn't believe that we were going to have to review that. And I think I said, this is just a waste of all of our time because it's such an obvious overturn. And then when it went to New York and it took them as long as it did, I mean, I still would love to talk to somebody to know why that took so long, because I think maybe the guys in New York were like, well, surely he thought he saw something else. So let's look at everything that happens in this play and see if we can explain this somehow, because he clearly is on top of the bag. So it was just, it was wild. I mean, look, guys miss calls. It happens. CB has a kind of a tough track record from an umpiring standpoint, behind the plate and on the bases. And then, unfortunately, the next day he gets clipped with that foul ball. And I believe he's fine from people that I've talked to. Everything's going to be okay with CB moving forward. So you hope, obviously, for that. You hope for his health and for everything to be okay. But that's wild. I mean, you don't see misses like that. And I just, I'm still curious as to why that was the call when you clearly didn't know what to make of the call. Like, just call him safe and then put it on the Rays to challenge it in that situation. But, I mean, that's why you have replay. Luckily, it really didn't impact the game. They got everything right. And it worked out in that way. But if that happened in 1986, that's a little different problem.
But did the Brewers had to, correct me if I'm wrong, but they had to use a challenge for that, right?
Yeah, but you retain it in that scenario. And it's so late in the game, too, that once you get to the eighth inning, you can basically ask for a crew chief review, and they're rarely going to turn that down. So it's a little different than the ABS, you challenge and you keep, obviously, your challenges moving forward, too. But that's a little different because the manager has so little control over it. I think this ABS thing's probably driving managers crazy because guys are, you know, some teams are running out of challenges in the third inning and then you're just like, what? And guys get emotional. I mean, we've already seen a lot of emotional challenges from hitters that were just bad challenges because they got emotional in the moment and it got the best of them. So that's going to be like, the ABS thing is going to be, I think, a really interesting story as the season goes along, because I think teams are going to get better at it and realize those challenges are for the team and not for you individually, and you got to be smart about how you use them. But I'm glad we have all this stuff. I think it's the right thing. I really do. And I definitely think the game's in a better place as a result of it, for sure.
Have you had a chance to meet Bobby Jr., the new pet tortoise for the team?
I did. Yeah. I did. He's not with them in Boston. I think they found a home for him in Kansas City. But
okay.
I was shocked. On Sunday, I came into the clubhouse and I looked at his little terrarium. I think that's what you call it. The terrarium that he was housed in, and he wasn't in it. And I was like, well, where's the tortoise? Yeah. And so I walked, you know, a little further into the clubhouse, and he was just walking around on the carpet like one of the guys, you know, like he was just getting ready for the game too. The 27th man on the roster. It was great.
That's a lot of fun. I have just one more. So I threw the Brockmire thing at you. So I'll just say, what's the best portrayal of a broadcaster you've seen in fictional media, whether it's a TV show or,
oh man.
And you can't, I mean, obviously you can major league.
Yeah.
That's
like the obvious.
Yeah.
Answer,
that's
right?
The obvious one. So if there's something else that kind of popped out to you.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, Uke is the one that we all want to be. Mm-hmm. Like, Harry Doyle is what we all feel like being at times when we're in the booth. We're like, man, if we could just, you know, be honest and be Harry Doyle right now, it would be so much fun. Everybody always jokes, like, my last broadcast, and then nobody ever actually does that. Man, that is a good question. I don't know if I have a great answer to it. I usually cringe more than I appreciate how they're portrayed. In these, I mean, sometimes they act like the play-by-play guy is also the PA guy in some of these movies.
And
you can, like, hear it throughout the stadium as they're doing play-by-play. And I'm like, I can't watch this movie. Yeah. It's unrealistic. So I would say there's few that I actually think
Sandlot,
they get it right.
The Sandlot I kind of go back and forth on with the Jet Steals Home. He talks over the call too much.
Right.
But That at least shows the emotion and the high-fiving in the clubhouse. Yeah. And because honestly, it's hard to top a Euchre or a Harry Carey or a Jack Buck. I mean, and some of these, there were such characters that somehow felt fictional, even though they were real. It's hard to kind of top what they actually brought to the table.
Yeah, I like when they portray the hometown broadcaster as a real hometown broadcaster that's a homer for the team, because that's what we are. Let's just be honest. That's how it works. And like, you think about Angels in the outfield, and he's like ripping the team the whole time, but he's the Angels broadcaster. Yeah. That didn't work that way.
Right.
You know, like that's just not how it works. So there's some of that stuff that kind of grinds my gears, probably way more so than it would for, you know, just a common person watching the movie.
Well, that's embarrassing, because my mind automatically goes to like Dodgeball and Waterboy. Like, I think of like the goofy commentators. I don't even think of like you know?
I'm with you. Those are great.
Yeah.
Because those are tongue-in-cheek, kind of farcical. Those are awesome. Yeah. I love that.
The Best in Show guys are great when they do the broadcasting for the dog show.
So good.
Yeah.
Think about all the things Jason Bateman's done in his career, and there's one line from Dodgeball that gets repeated probably more than any line he's ever had in any movie. I won't say it, but we all know it.
Yep. Well, Lane, we look forward to hearing the call, and we appreciate you joining us.
Absolutely, guys. So grateful to be with you, and let's stay warm and see if the Brewers can pull out another one tonight.
Yeah, I feel like they will. We appreciate it. Lane Grindle joins us on the Yuengling Guest Hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, now officially in Wisconsin. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly.